Good morning, everyone, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to Hidrovias do Brasil's Q4 2022 earnings conference call. Joining us today are CEO Mr. Fabio Schettino, Mr. Ricardo Pereira, IRO and CFO, and Ana Carolina Bastos, Head of Investor Relations. This event is being recorded, and all participants will be connected in listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After Hidrovias' remarks, the line will be open for questions, and further instructions will be provided. Should you need any assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. The conference is always being broadcast live by a webcast, and a recording will be available to investors and analysts at the company's website. Participants may view the slides in whatever order they prefer. Those following the presentation via webcast may also post their questions on our website. Those will be answered by our IR team after the conference is concluded. Before moving on, we'd like to mention that forward-looking statements are based on Hidrovias management's beliefs and assumptions, as well as information currently available to the company. They involve risks and uncertainties because they relate to future events and therefore rely on circumstances that may or may not materialize. Investors and analysts must understand that macroeconomic conditions, the state of the industry, and other related factors can also lead to results which are materially different than those expressed in said forward-looking statements. That being said, I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fabio Schettino. Mr. Schettino, you may proceed. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining our earnings call for Q4 2022. As always, we'll have a short presentation about these results, and later we'll open the floor for questions. So I'd like you to please move to slide four, where we have the most important facts and figures, which will be detailed later on by our CFO, Ricardo. We ended Q4 and 2022 once again with record-breaking results, historical results really for Hidrovias, with material growth when compared to 2021, which shows that we've come back to our growth path by developing logistics corridors where we operate in better navigation conditions in the south. As you know, in 2021, the situation was very restricted. Our throughput was 3.6 million tons in the quarter and 16.5 million tons in the year, so significantly larger figures than in 2021, when again, we had a very restricted navigation in the south, combined also with a failure of the second crop of corn in Brazil, which ultimately affected our throughput in the north quarter. So our net revenue came to 435.8 million during the quarter and nearly 1.8 billion reais in the year, with a record-breaking adjusted EBITDA coming to 110.7 million in the quarter, bearing in mind that Q4 is seasonally weaker for essentially every quarter where we operate. And an adjusted EBITDA of 756.9 million in the year, up 20.1% versus the previous year, 2021. Our CapEx amounted to 48.9 million reais in the quarter and 321.3 million in the year, in line with what we had planned, and which essentially reflects the projects that were already underway, such as the adjustments in Santos and the purchase of assets that we will be using in the north to support our fleet and our super convoys, in addition to improvements in our management system, which will lead to a more predictable and better managed operation. We're coming to the end of our first investment cycle, which closes in 2024, after which we should have strong cash generation conversion. So our operations are coming to maturity, and the Santos terminal in 2024 is the last of them. We're still very focused in our deleverage system, and we're very diligent in our focusing on our capital structure, which is more and more balanced and adjusted to the cash flows projected by the company for the next few years. We're very happy with the liability management process that was led by Ricardo, which enabled significant financial gains for the company via a bond repurchase operation in the secondary market. We ended 2022 with a leverage of 4.9 times, significantly below that for the same period in 2021, when it had been 6.5 times, and also a very healthy and comfortable cash position when compared to the company's future commitments. All of that added or combined so that we had a net loss scenario. The net loss scenario of last year reversed and had a adjusted net profit of 79.5 million in 2022. So now I'd like to show you how we've been or what position we've taken and how we've set ourselves apart in the markets where we operate. Our calling was to be the best integrated logistics player focusing on waterway transportation in Latin America. And we have focused all our efforts and investments to consolidate that position, which you'll begin to see now as we develop and mature our operations. We concluded Q3 2022 with the works in our Santos terminal, where today we have the most efficient and innovative operation in the area with two hydraulic wharf cranes. Which are state of the art, the first ones in the Santos port. Now, in the north, we've restructured our fleet to begin our operation with super convoys. This is something we've reported recently. These are 35 barge convoys with a single pusher, which is why we acquired two new pusher boats, which are state-of-the-art, which were delivered now in early 2023, as well as two hybrid pushers or hybrid towboats. The first ones to operate in a fully electric manner in the world, which have also been delivered to our terminal in 2023. So 2023 will still be a year of transition to realize all the potential of our fleet. And starting in 2024, we'll be able to capture all the benefits of these investments, which will enable greater volume in the system, in the integrated system, and also some operational gains, such as reducing fuel consumption per ton and the dilution of fixed costs. We will also direct two pushers, which are currently being used in the north, moving them to our operations in the south, allowing us to no longer have to lease assets in that corridor and therefore reach better results in the southern corridor as well. I made a point to add to this slide a video of a shooting that we had in our first trip with our super convoy in the north, because I feel it is very important for you to see the size and scope of this operation, the beauty of what we do in the Amazon, helping to build and develop not only more efficient and competitive logistics, but most importantly, a more sustainable one, the most sustainable in all transport modes available to deliver bulk cargo in the continent. So if you can, I'd like to invite you to watch this video to understand a little bit of the magnitude of what we're doing here in HBSA when it comes to cargo transport. As I said, these were the last large projects on the company's pipeline and are part of the CapEx that you'll still see in 2023. As of 2024, our investments will be focusing on scheduled maintenance and smaller projects, which is why it will have greater cash generation, conversion, and consequently greater deleverage. We're following the regular path for any company in this industry, which is a capital-intensive one, where it requires larger initial investments, which are captured later, or whose returns are captured later when these investments mature. Now, on that note, I'd like to turn over to Ricardo, who will go a little bit further into the results that we've detailed. Thank you, Ricardo. You may continue.
Thank you, Fabio. I'd just like to reinforce the invitation to watch this video, because every time I watch it, I'm always amazed about the magnitude of what we do in the North. So please make sure to check it out. All right, so good morning, everyone, and thank you once again for joining our earnings call. Starting my share of this presentation, I'd like to invite you to move to slide 7, where we will start talking about the South Corridor. So I would like to start by talking about these operations, which, as you know, had a very, very challenging year in 2021 when we were prevented from navigating for almost 2 months. So 2022 was still an unusual scenario with draft levels below historical averages, but a much better situation compared to 2021. So even though our operations were not regular at 100%, we were able to navigate throughout the year, which is a victory if you compare to our performance in 2021. If you look at the chart on the left, you'll be able to see that, as I said, considering historical data for that area, the blue line on the chart, it is right in the middle, and it represents the river water levels in 2022, and the light blue line represents the same levels in 2021. So there's been a significant improvement. And on the chart on the right, you can also see a green dotted line that we've added, and it represents the record for draft levels in the area of Ladario. And this makes or gives us the confidence that even if it doesn't return to normal, we will face much better conditions throughout this year and maybe even returning to normal in 2024. Actually, we've already communicated in our notice to the market that we are operating with no restriction again since February, which is very positive news for us. So if we move on to slide 8, now a little bit going into the figures, you can see that the volume and EBITDA, or throughput and EBITDA, that we see in Q4 2022, as I said, with Q4 on the upper side and the other on the lower side. So the improved draft levels that I mentioned allowed us to grow our throughput significantly. We recorded 926,000 tons over the quarter and 5.1 tons throughout the year, up nearly 44% compared to 2021, with the highlight being the throughput for iron ore, which nearly doubled during this period. We also saw significant improvement in EBITDA, which came to 47.9 million in Q4 and 280.7 million in the year overall, growing by nearly 45% over 2021. EBITDA margin for the year came to 35.9%, which is also very considerable, even though it's not reached its potential. It's growing at a regular level. Actually, the pure or the operational development in itself is even bigger, seeing as in 2021, as you remember, we had a positive effect of the business combination, which inflated the result for the South by 22.3 million and by 32.3 million that year. So it's important to note that despite this clear improvement, the result is still below the potential for this logistics corridor, seeing as we have not been able to realize all the benefits of a operation at scale, seeing as its cycles have still not returned to normal, meaning that we still had some operational costs that were much larger than usual and a lot less efficiency during much of the year. And this tends to become clearer to you as draft levels return to normal. When that happens, we'll be able to be more efficient in terms of fuel consumption and also be able to dilute our fixed costs a lot more, for example. So a number of these costs for this operation will be diluted. In addition to that, Fabio mentioned at the beginning of his presentation that we are working on very important initiatives that will help to optimize the results with the South Corridor even more, where regardless of how DREF levels bounce back, for example, the company's fleet optimization, for example, we're moving two pushers from the north to the south, and as a result, we'll no longer need to lease assets in the south starting in 2024. So 2024 will be an even better year. Now, moving on to slide nine, and already talking a little bit about the North Corridor, where we had an extremely strong result in 2022. And this is something we've always said, but the estimated potential capacity for the North Corridor was 7.2 million tons a year. So we kept asking, how could we reach that mark? So we've run loading and unloading capacity studies, navigation cycle studies, storage, seasonality for the distribution of grain and fertilizers, and climate records. But all of that were very strong with a combination of positive aspects. All of that allowed us to move or to have an even higher throughput than what we had estimated. So we couldn't be happier than we are with a result that exceeded all our expectations. So that was because we had a commercial strategy that was very strong with a record-breaking harvest in Mato Grosso, and also a very good strategy by our team, which filled the system with volume received directly in Barcarena at the times when Mato Grosso producers held back on their grains for a better price. And as a result, we were able to operate at full capacity throughout the year. So our forecasts for 2023 are still very positive, and with growth forecasts for production and exports, both for soybean and corn, in a scenario of infrastructure gap, so much so that tradings have moved forward to hire the logistics earlier, and we've already sold 95% of the system's capacity for this year. The throughput that's still missing is the equivalent to only 4 quarters. As a result, we'll be able to once again turn our efforts to ensure a perfect execution, keeping our leadership in the North Arch. Now, talking about leadership position, you can see now on slide 10 that the North Arch is so competitive that it has surpassed Santos in grain exports from Brazil, considering that today one of the most important exporting hubs in the country is there. On the left-hand slide of the slide, you can see the grain exports market share, considering grains that come from Brazil, 50% of their volume was distributed via the northern ports. So it's impressive how much this corridor has developed. And more so, I'm happy to say that Hidrovias is by far one of the main catalysts, one of the most important developers of this corridor in Brazil. So on the right-hand side, on the upper side, you can see that Barcarena accounted for 56% of the volume exported in the entire region. And on the bottom side, where you have the market share for Hidrovias, you can see how well positioned we are. So the north, where we have the largest throughput in Brazil, Barcarena with the highest market share, and Hidrovias within that location accounted for 44% of the market share growing versus last year and also keeping its leadership position both in Miritituba and in Barcarena. So it's very important to make that clear so you understand the potential for this quarter, the potential for Brazil, and most importantly, the position that we are consolidating within all of that. So moving on to the next slide. As I said, in terms of financial results, we had the most important or the largest result ever recorded for this logistics corridor. So once again, our throughput was higher than expected by the company of nearly 1.5 million tons, and in Q4, that it was in Q4, and over 7.7 million tons in the year as a whole. The grain throughput being a highlight, considering both what came from the direct road system and from the integrated system throughout the year. So on the right-hand side, an 81.3 million adjusted EBITDA in the quarter and a 461.5 million EBITDA in the year, up 25% versus the same period last year or versus 2021 as a whole. And not to mention that we had a very strong basis for comparison in 2021 with a lot of take or pay being recorded. So in the year, we had an impressive 60.8% adjusted EBITDA margin. Moving on to the next slide, where we will talk about coastal navigation. Slide 12, please. Once again, our throughput is in line with the record for this operation and coming to 919,000 tons of bauxite in Q4. And this large growth when compared to 2021, even considering that 2021, as you may remember, our client had an issue in his pier and we weren't able to conclude the throughput that was actually hired from us. So there was this difference from what happened in 2022. So the same situation led to a non-recurrent factor, which had an impact on our Q4 results and consequently in our 2022 result as well. As usual, we recorded the take or pay referring to the throughput that had been hired but was not provided by the client because of that issue on the pier. However, part of the accounts receivable was still open-ended because of conflicts between what the client and the company had calculated. So we chose to have a one-off provision for loss of 21.6 million, but this does not represent any change in contract or change in future operations. So this was just a one-off provision that we decided to enter. Had we not made that provision, our normalized adjusted EBITDA for coastal navigation would have been 18.4 million in Q4 and 118.8 million in 2022 with a 52% adjusted EBITDA margin. So slightly affected by higher sales and fuel prices throughout the year, which the client does not account for, but still keeping a very healthy and resilient level for our operations. Lastly, moving on to slide 13, our new star, talking about Santos, we wanted to show you some of the figures for our operations. As you know, we began to operate the Santos terminal again in the Q3 2022, and the results that we've obtained early in this restart of our operations were very, very promising, in line with what we had expected. Figures have actually exceeded much of what we had forecast. So our throughput was 266,000 of fertilizers in Q4 and 394,000 tons in the full year, considering that in addition to developing the fertilizers operation, we will also have a salt throughput via this terminal in the future. As Fabio showed you early in his presentation, we've invested in a lot of innovations, innovative solutions, and this terminal has received two hydraulic wharf cranes with the capacity to move about 14 tons a day. So it's an impressive throughput when you compare that to traditional cranes. We're also developing a solution for rail distribution of cargo. As you may remember, the initial project for Santos included only a road aspect, but we saw the potential to explore the road cargo in the Central West. So within the terminal, we are investing in the capacity for railway distribution, which increases the potential throughput within this project to 2.5 million tons a year. This investment for the rail distribution will be made later in 2023, and it's one of the few investments that are already in the pipeline and still underway, making up the 2023 CapEx. So we expect that to mature in early 2025. On the right-hand side, on the issue of adjusted EBITDA, in Q4, our adjusted EBITDA for Santos was $8.7 million, and on the bottom side of the slide, the full year adjusted EBITDA came to $10.5 million with a 33.4% adjusted EBITDA margin. If you think that we're thinking about operations that are only 4 months long, we have to underscore how outstanding this result has been. So in the next few slides, we see consolidated results both in the quarterly and the annual comparisons. I will go through them very quickly because you've probably seen them since we've disclosed them last night. But in any case, I'd like you to take a look at slide 15, where we have an overview of Q4. Our consolidated volume was again the largest for the company in Q4 ever, coming to 3.6 million tons, over 60% above the Q4 last year. Our ex-OTM, ex-hedge accounting operating net revenue came to 435.8 million, so significantly larger than in the same period of last year, up over 94%, and the consolidated adjusted EBITDA came to 110.7 million. And were it not for the PDD effect that I mentioned earlier, it would have been 132.3 million reais, accounting for 51% growth versus the same period the year before. Now, looking at the next slide, slide 16, we have the consolidated result for the year, where we show a throughput of no less than 60.5 million tons with operating net revenue of nearly 1.8 billion and adjusted EBITDA of 756.9 million, despite the PDD effect that we mentioned before. If we were to account for that effect, or if we were to adjust for that effect, our adjusted EBITDA would have been 778.5 million reais, so nearly 24% higher, or 23.5 to be precise, over the same period in 2021. So the result begins to show the upturn for the company to levels that are more consistent with the installed capacity of our operations. So in slide 17, if you could please move on the issue of CapEx, you can see that the CapEx for 2022 was very much in line with the expected, and it's essentially spent on maintenance, which is very low, as we said, adding up to 44.2 million a year, and an expansion, which came to 257.1 million, and this was for the projects that are underway. We've mentioned some of them, but the pusher boats and maneuver boats or towboats, and also the systems that will allow us to better manage the business, which is something we've also invested in to improve our governance and management. And not forgetting about Santos, also the assignment of royalties for the port of Santos of about 20.1 million. So we're working to reduce our leverage, and I'll mention this later. And we've been very diligent in our investments. And as we've mentioned a few times, we are now concluding the investment cycle that we initially expected in 2023. And in 2024, we will begin to focus our efforts on the scheduled maintenance of our assets and small improvement or expansion projects. So in addition to being diligent with our investments, we are still fully committed to the deleveraging process, as I've mentioned. Now, why is it important? And I'd like to point that out in slide 18, that in 2022, and this has been communicated since Q4, we have a liability management system to optimize our capital structure, balancing out the cash flows the company expects and reducing some of the volatility in our results. In addition to contribute to a more adequate capital structure, it also enabled significant financial gains throughout the year, considering that we issued a 500 million reais debenture for bond repurchase, bonds that had been negotiated at a discount of over 20% in the secondary market. So we moved on from a 92% dollar-denominated debt to a 72% dollar-denominated debt, with an average 6.9-year maturity and an average weighted average cost in US dollars of 5.1% a year, meaning it's a long and inexpensive debt. And this is something we always say: a long, inexpensive, and now with a slightly more adequate mix, more adequate to our situation. So we are ending the year with a very healthy cash position, considering our future obligations, with a lot of cash within the company, which shows how healthy we are when considering our future obligations. So our cash came to 753.4 million reais at the end of the year. So we're now at the comfortable position that tells us there's no need for new funding in the near term, which is a great sign for us. And seeing we have large or great potential for deleveraging as our operations reach their full potential. Okay? So now moving on to slide 19, the last slide in my part of the presentation. If you could please look at the right-hand slide, and these are two very important issues: amortization and deleveraging. On the left-hand side, where we have the amortization schedule, as you can see, the most important part matures in 251 or 2031, I'm sorry. And on the left-hand side, mentioning the company's leverage, our development was extremely positive and significant over the course of 2022. So we ended 2021 with a 6.3 times, because of everything that we mentioned: the crop failure, the drought level issue, And in 2022, again, as expected, with a lot of diligence in CapEx and a lot of or great diligence in cash generation. And then, of course, with improved results in our corridors, we can see that significant decrease in our leverage to 4.8 times. So we've ended the year with the adjusted debt of about 4.7, 4.8 times versus 6.3 times the same period last year and 5.3 times in the prior quarter. If we were to consider within our adjusted EBITDA, also our JVs, on the chart we show 4.8 without the JVs, and if we consider the EBITDA, the JVs EBITDA, we would have ended the year at 4.9 times. So this is essentially what I had from my side. And with this, I conclude my presentation and turn it back to Fabio for his final remarks, and then opening the floor for questions, okay? Thank you, everyone, and see you soon. Thank you, Ricardo. So let's please move to slide 21, where we have the most important messages about this result and the company's values, which, as I always make sure to say, are still untouched. So the company's capacity to generate equivalent cash or cash equivalents and EBITDA equivalents is completely concluded. So we ended the year with significant EBITDA volume, still below the company's full potential, but showing the return to normal in our operations. And once again, this is independent of new investment. So this is a gradual uptrend, which comes as the river levels in the south return to normal and the Santos operations develop. And these are new operations. These are less than 6 months old. And the north, as you may see, is already operating at full capacity, and cabotage is a delicate, resilient, and profitable operation. In addition to that, we're still very well positioned in every logistics corridor where we operate. We have a role of dominance in grain exports in the north. We are leaders in iron ore transport in the south, and we also have the most up-to-date assets for fertilizer transportation and salt transportation in the salt in the port of Santos. We have spent the last few years strengthening our position and investing in our operations so that they could realize all of the opportunities offered by the South American market and to operate at full capacity with profitability that exceeds that of other logistics player. We are coming to the end of this cycle, and the result will be the realization of our full cash generation potential with the maturity of our investments, both in terms of production and productivity. This company has very strong cash generation potential, and this is clear to all of you. So again, I'd like to thank all of you and now open the floor for questions. Thank you. Thank you. We will now open the floor for questions. If you have a question, please press star one on your phone at any time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the star key. Questions will be taken as they are received. When you do ask your question, we ask that you pick up your handset for optimum sound quality. Please hold as we pull for questions. Our first question comes from Matheus Santana with XP. Matheus, you may proceed.
Good morning, everyone. I would like to talk specifically about coastal navigation. The operation, considering a more conservative standpoint, because of the take-or-pay situation, makes sense. We'd like to understand what the conflict in calculations was and if there's any change, if there's any chance that will affect your future results.
Good morning, Mateus. This is Fabio, and thank you for your question. I will start by explaining in a general way, and then Fabio may give you the specific results. The contract is absolutely within normal. Of course, there are adjustments and negotiations, changes in cycle. If there's, for example, a change in the client's schedule, but we see no possibility for structural change. This is a regular contract. I'm sorry, someone has their microphone over, so we have some interference. But going back to your answer, it's fully regular. The contract is within the most absolute normality. But going specifically to your question about the variation in revenue, we have a more objective answer for that, and I'd like to turn to Ricardo to answer you.
Hi, Mateus. Good morning. In fact, the result for the year in cabotage, we had three effects. One of them was what we mentioned, the effect of the recording of PDD from 2021. And then, because of the same effect, we had a non-acknowledgment of revenue, and this is something we are talking to our client about. And as Fabio mentioned, this is nothing structural, and we are very calm about that. But in order, for the sake of conservativeness, we decided to include a provision. And also, there's an issue of revenue for 2023. This is a one-off situation that will be entered into the results in 2023, but we see no major change in that on that front. Okay. And adding to that, Mateus, if we you asked if we expect this to be a recurrent thing, and not at all. We expect to talk about this and be able to reverse this provision as soon as we reach consensus. We believe that our fundamentals are very clear in terms of looking at this gap and this discussion that ultimately led to this provision, but in no way do we expect this to be a recurrent factor. In fact, we expect the fundamentals of the contract to be to prevail. So within the devices that we have within the contract to solve any issues to be used, and that we may solve this as soon as possible. All right, that was very clear. Thank you.
Thank you, Mateus.
Our next question comes from Henrique Simões with Credit Suisse. Please, Henrique, you may proceed.
Good morning, Fabio and Ricardo. How are you? I'd like to congratulate you on the results, first of all, and I'd like to ask you about the North, if you could, give us some color about the fees. We may see some negative effect in the renegotiation of the long-term agreement, and also in terms of throughput, you probably have an idea of what things will look like moving forward. And also, what's the margin gains that you expect with the Super Convoy? And as a second question, if you could please talk a little bit about the operations in the South. I understand that they probably won't come back to normal in this quarter, but how below the regular levels should we expect them to be this year?
Hello, Enrique. Thank you for your question. This is Fabio. So I'd like to address the fees in the North issue. In the last 3 years, we've been able to introduce what we're seeing now with the toll of 20 to 30 reais per ton is a maintenance of nominal fees. And these bring to the margin that we showed you that's very robust. Now, I'd like to call your attention to what we disclosed with regard to a reconfiguration of our dynamic relationship where we have advanced the fee for the following year. And if that fee is lower than the fee in the contract, that leads to an obligation that's financial or for deadline in the future. So, considering that our prerogative is to have the best fee in the system, when we have
the fee or when we sold at a lower fee to a third party, I would deliver that value and no longer see that in the future. But now, if we have a fee that was negotiated for the following year so that it is competitive and that's lower than what we have in the contract, we create an additional value in the contract. So we do not lose that. It is transported to the future. So when we have a more competitive client, they obviously will look for a higher throughput. And we have seen that in the past with a larger throughput than what it had in contract with some clients in the past. So what we expect is to have stable fees at a level that explain this level of this margin levels, which are very robust, already cushioning in the effect of the toll, understanding that decision-making for trading and producers is not only within my system, but the all-in fee. So considering road transportation and also port fee. So the decision is made thinking about the entire picture. So we were able to absorb that toll value without any impact on the fee as a whole, again, with robust results. Another important point is that we are changing the throughput in the north. We've added 7.2 tons to the system, and now obviously we are focusing on a more marginal growth without the need for gains on investment. We can still increase the capacity by micro changes to the system and incrementing the system in a modular way. So the figure that we introduced include fertilizer, the figure 7.7 tons. So as you can see, this is a very positive, very aggressive even figure. So I have a question about super convoys. So essentially go from 25 to 35 barges, and the gain is essentially from 25 to 35. So it's a very significant change. We're talking about navigating at the same level of the Tapajós River. So when you're navigating, you need that dead weight. So a 35 barge convoy, you can transport all that he wants with no draft limits to leave that with a full draft. So we have a super convoy, and we have another two that have just been delivered, and they're being now waiting for license to operate. And when that happens, we'll have four of all five pushers operating in super convoys with gains in productivity and cost gains that represent a dramatic difference, operating with 9, 12, and even 16 barges. So our gains are as objective as the difference in the division of costs with these barges that the super convoy creates. And then I'd like you to repeat your last question, if you could, please. Thank you for your answer, Fabio. Well, about the south, I just wanted to understand the results that you expect for this year. It will still not have returned to normal, but what's the level that you expect to record this year? So when we look at these climate cycles, considering both El Nino or La Nina, we were at the beginning of La Nina, which is a cycle that makes for a deteriorated rainfall cycle. So we went from an El Nino cycle, which makes for higher river levels, and now went to the other extreme. That began in the second half of 2020. It reached its nadir in 2021, and in 2022 we saw the recovery. Now the trend is for us to move further closer to normality, maybe not at 100%, but if we were to put that in percentages, what we made was less than half of what we could or should have made in 2021. And in 2022, we moved closer with 65 million EBITDA with that quarter. Bearing in mind that in 2021, if memory serves, the figure was 31 million, but we recorded a premium for that EBITDA that was not directly operational. So ultimately, in 2021, our EBITDA was under 50% of its potential. This year, it moved to 65%, 2022. And in 2023, we expect to near the quarter's full potential, including the new assets.
That was perfect, Fabio. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Felipe Nilsson with Citibank. Please, you may proceed.
Hello, everyone. Good morning, and thank you for taking my question. Congratulations on your results. I'd like to hear from you. You mentioned that in 2024, the focus would be on maintenance and smaller projects. I'd like to know if you could give us a bit more color in terms of what you expect of new projects moving forward. And also about your maintenance CapEx, what do you expect for 2024? We understand that most of that CapEx would go toward these projects and that it would last throughout this cycle after 2023. So if you could please add a little more color to those comments, that would be great.
All right, Felipe, let me take the first part of your question in terms of maintenance, and then I'll turn over to Ricardo. So what do we have in mind or in the future? We're talking about shorter term maintenance projects. Of course, we said that we are being very careful in our capital structure. You're seeing a two-time deadline with no non-recurrent effect. So it really is a deleveraging process that shows you the trend that we're following. So we, considering that we will still be very conservative about our capital structure, we see a fertilizers project in the north. I hope to be able to talk about that soon, but there we are treating fertilizers in a more structured way with a larger throughput. So this is a project that's very much in advanced stages, and negotiations with the client are also moving forward quickly. We expect to be able to tell you more about that in the very near future. And this was allocated to our system back when we were realizing full capacity. So once we have the system fully dominated by grains, fertilizers begin to compete and take some of the space. So we want to privilege or to prefer grains in the integrated system, but we want to add more of the fertilizer projects in the north moving on to the future. We have the project in Santos that's going really well, as Ricardo said, but we have a project that brings very quick and significant returns, which is to increase the density in an area that's closer to ours. So this is expected to be very quick. This is an area that's occupied by a player who operates a container operation, and we're asking to expand very quickly with a low CapEx, our capacity in the Santos terminal. We have potential modular investments in Barcarena or in our integrated system in the north, as I said before, changing the mix a little bit, understanding that we have trucks directly going to Barcarena. We have navigation and port, and we have fertilizers. So when we rearrange the mix there, we can still add some capacity with fast conversion rates later this year. And we are also looking at alternatives, and I hope to be able to communicate the details of that soon. by increasing our modular capacity in the north. So these are sort of the low-hanging fruit that we see to continue to show results, still adding low CapEx and increasing our capacity. Now, if you could continue, Ricardo.
Yeah, what we expect here to 2023, we have a CapEx that's likely to move closer to 370, 380 million reais. And 120 of that would be focused on maintenance, 120 to 130. And this is already our forecast for the next few years. So from 2024 onwards, which was your question, this is what we had for maintenance out of 250 CapEx within the company. So that's the ballpark of what we expect for the next few years.
Perfect. That was very clear. Thank you very much, guys.
The next question comes from webcast. It was asked by Wagner Falaferri. Why were corporate income payments so high over the course of the year? Is there any way to prevent imbalances in our operations, especially in what regards to export? What should we expect for the average rate in 2023? What CapEx maintenance could we consider as a regular figure for the company, considering the investment in cabotage from time to time? Is the figure a figure below 50 million reais seems low. Something like 120 million reais seems adequate for that modeling. Am I right?
All right. Thank you for your questions, Wagner. I'll try to answer all of them, and we may complement if we forget anything later on. As I said about CapEx to Felipe's question, we are expecting a maintenance CapEx between 40 to 50 million, with a seasonal change because of a few aspects that we didn't see this year and the super harvest. But for modeling purposes, a regular figure would be something between 120 and 130 million. Now, with regard to the corporate tax, we need to look at the market. We could see the glass half full or half empty. We had a higher rate, but we also had a gain below the EBITDA level of 120 million in terms of financial gains because of the repurchase of bonds at a at goodwill. So we purchased 120 million reais these bonds with a cash effect that led to a cut that would be of 143 million reais. So when you look at the corporate tax being paid versus EBITDA, there's some distortion there. But if you look at the effect on the financial results, it was also unusual, and in this case, very favorable to us when compared to previous years, even when you compare quarter over quarter and or year over year. So if you look at the corporate rate paid this year, you could add it to the positive side of having had 143 million reais more. So clearly, for the for the sake of forecasts for the next few years, considering opportunities like this are not coming anymore, and obviously maybe we'll have the opportunity to buy again, but assuming no more opportunities to expand the financial results that much, we expect to move back to the regular levels of our corporate tax rates.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question also comes from webcast by Arlindo Souza with Matrix. Good morning. Could you please talk a little bit about the company's plans for the salt asset in Rio Grande do Norte? Will there be
an opportunity to use the asset elsewhere, or will the company sell the asset later on?
Hi, this is Fabio speaking. So what we had was logistic integration for salt. We will not stop dealing with salt in the Santos port. We're still available for salt operations. What we can't do because of a regulatory impasse, which again was really arbitrary in this stage of investments, to have been denied that by the regulating agency was unfair, but it is what it is, and we are subject to that sort of thing. We will only not be able to do the transport, which is not an internal asset. So again, we will not stop operating salt. What we will do is the transport, which we plan to do with the floating asset. So we are very close. Again, I hope to be able to disclose that soon. The acquisition of an asset that could work on that in other areas. Now, the decision to sell and operate is an economic decision. It's a decision about what will bring the best results considering the investment on that asset. But we understand that this is an asset that's in perfect conditions, it's been restored, and it can add results by operating the transport operations in other places. So the expectation for the medium and long term is that that asset will be moved to other operations, and we will be telling you more about that very soon. The discussion is very, very much in later stages. The next question also comes from webcast and will be read in English from Erica Hoa in Machine Investments. All right, I'll answer you in Portuguese. This was an excellent question. We are very excited about the fact that we have overcome a cycle of non-recurring problems in the company. The last 2 years, so in 2021, we had a very severe water crisis. We had a significant crop failure. 2022 was a year of recovery. And this year, both from the harvest standpoint and from the standpoint of other operations, understanding that we are ramping up in Santos and the cabotage is a long-term project, we expect to finally be able to show the realization of the company's full capacity without the interference of these external factors. So our forecast for the first half of the year and for the year as a whole is very, very bright. Everyone's very excited that we'll be able to really make all our effort worth it. And the fact that we went through this crisis with everything that happened and with all these positive signs show how robust our business is. So throughout the pandemic and crop failures, other companies felt the blow a lot more than Hidrovias did, but even so, we were not able to fully realize the company's potential. And this year, we expect to be a lot closer to that. The only part of the industry that's still in ramp up is Santos, but the South Corridor, we expect to be closer to normality this year. So very bright prospects for Q2 and Q3, with signs that we will likely not have any consequences of a drought in those areas, considering that the system is seeing a heavy rainfall this during this period, and also the Pantanal area has filled with water, which leads us to believe that this will be a time of greater normality in the south. And understanding that we are coming to the end of a La Nina cycle, and if you can see that in the reports from consulting firms that deal with that, and when you look at climate conditions or even El Nino cycles, we should see rivers closer to their regular levels. So we start 2023 with very bright prospects in that sense.
With that, we conclude today's question and answer session. I'd like to invite Mr. Fabio Schettino to proceed with his closing remark. Mr. Schettino, please, you may proceed.
Thank you. I'd just like to add an asterisk. I believe that there are still questions that remain unanswered, and I'd like to say that our IR team and even Ricardo are available to answer any other questions you may have asked. So again, we are very optimistic for 2023, considering that these factors that affected us in the last 2 years really seem to be behind us now. The company today has an installed capacity that's untouched, meaning the company's fundamentals remain untouched. And this is a year when we expect to be able to realize the potential more closer to our full capacity. So I hope to come back here in Q1 with better news to everyone, showing that this time of a, I won't call it a perfect storm because storms are good for us, but the most significant adversities are behind us, and we are now going back to seeking to fully realize the company's potential. So I'd like to thank you everyone for joining us and say that I'm available to answer any further questions you may have. With this, we conclude Hidrovias do Brasil's conference call. Thank you for joining us and have a great day. Thank you.